Once you are off the state watch list for 14 days, then you can go to in-school instruction. What that will look like is still to be determined because nobody's going there yet. There could be a hybrid model where kids are coming a few days a week. It could be full model where everybody's back. It could be an AM/PM model. There's all kinds of things that it could be. But we're not there yet because we're still on the state watch list. Once you're off the list for 14 days and you start back at school, if you go back on the state watch list, you get to stay with the program that you're currently on. So, for example, if we went off the state watch list on August 1st, and on the 14th, we were able to start school, and we started school and we were doing a hybrid model for 2 weeks, and then we went back on the state watch list, we could stay with the hybrid model. We would not have to then go back on a distance learning model. That is the current order. That is what we have to follow. So right now, we're in the planning stages for what is distance learning going to look like. Some of the things about the order is that you must have live interactive instruction from the teachers to the students. You may not just post videos or post YouTube spots and say, go here and then write something and send it to me. There has to be live instruction under the distance learning model. Live interactive instruction. So the way I look at that from a standpoint of how do we meet that letter is either the teacher, I'm the teacher right now and you're my students on Zoom and I'm giving a lesson and I'm on my whiteboard and they're watching and they're interacting and they're talking and, you know, or you might be muting them because they're talking too much, but they're having that. It's an interactive conversation with you as a teacher, just like you're in the classroom, but you're not. The kids aren't. The other option I think we could probably get away with if we needed to would be you tape your lesson, and as your lesson is playing on Google Classroom or whatever, you're on Zoom with the children at the same time. So they're watching the lesson. You're not actually doing it live, but you're doing the lesson. And the students can then interact with you as a teacher on Zoom. What isn't going to be okay is doing nothing but videos and no interaction between the teacher and the children. So that's a little different, but a lot different than what we had in the springtime where we were told, make it work. Doesn't matter how it works, just make it work. So that's one of the key factors in looking at a schedule. Now, the schedule that we put out as a draft schedule, and it was labeled draft, rustled some feathers, and I get that. It was not intended to be a proposed schedule. It was intended to be a draft schedule with the understanding that we have a long ways to go to make a schedule work. And whatever schedule we put in place for day one of school will probably change by day four of school because we don't know what we don't know, right? So we don't know if it's going to work or not going to work. Some very good comments came from many of our teachers, many of our parents, and I'm going to bore you in a little bit with reading the questions and giving you the answers because I want you to all know what people are saying and what the concerns are. So understand that we put together, we being myself and the administrators and Tara, our after school coordinator, and Chad was in the room, trying to figure out a way to make this work in a sense that live interactive instruction was happening. So that was kind of how we did it. There are other things that I will talk about in a few minutes about mask requirements if we are back in school, distance social distancing if we are back in school, regular testing and tracing if we are back in school. Those are all parts of the new order. So I'll talk a little bit about masks. I do talk about it in one of the questions somebody asked, but an over Reader's Digest version is that the state's parameters right now is third grade and above. Above, masks or facial covering are mandatory. There's no, I don't want to wear it, so therefore I can't. The only option is to have a doctor's note that says it's not healthy for you to wear a mask, and then you don't have to wear a mask. If you do not have the doctor's note as a child and you come into Mrs. High's third grade classroom and you do not have a mask on, she hands you one of the masks that the district will provide, and you say, put that on. And if the child says, I will not put that on, as a teacher, you, under the new authority, you have the right to remove them from your classroom. So it is cut and dry. They wear a mask unless there's a doctor's note if they're third grade and above. Second grade and below, the masks are not required. However, they're highly advised to wear them. What that means is that if a child comes into the classroom and does not have a mask on, and you say, I would really like you to put your mask on, and the child says, no, my daddy says I don't have to wear a mask, you cannot remove them from the classroom. We have that second barrier that many do not have. Well, we don't have it yet, but we've ordered it. And we have they're not really plexiglass, I've shown them before, but it's a barrier that will be in front of every child. That is protection from that child to another child or that child to the teacher. It is not as strong of a protection as a mask would be, but it is a protection to have that available for all our students. So the physical distancing requirement, as of right now, they're still on 6 feet. So what that would mean to me currently is that before it was 6 feet.
In the front.
It was 6 feet. Can you please, thank you. It was 6 feet or wear a mask. Now it's 6 feet and wear a mask. So if we were able to come back to school, most likely we would have to start, unless something changes, which could happen tomorrow as far as we know, we would have to come back in some sort of a hybrid model, because measuring it out, we could fit no more than about 18 children in a classroom. And we do not have enough classrooms or enough teachers to do 18 per class. So we would have to come back on some sort of a hybrid model. Again, better than distance learning, not as good as bringing your kids back full time. So that's the issue with social distancing. Regular testing and dedicated contact tracing for outbreaks at school. This is a very interesting one, because I've heard up and down the state, they don't have enough testing as it is, and we're certainly not testers, so we would have to send you to somebody to be tested. Contact tracing is not our responsibility, it is the county's responsibility. So we would then notify the county that we have a potential case, and then they would follow up with you or the student or the parents and go from there. So the last piece I'm going to touch on before I go into some questions that were written, and I'm sure there are going to be more questions, but we'll talk about that in a minute, is that the distance learning must be rigorous. It cannot be crisis. And that's what we had before. We had crisis teaching, and now we need rigorous teaching. So what that means is there's an accountability piece. Teachers must take role, they must collect work, they must assign grades, as if the children are in their classroom. So before, with the crisis teaching, if a student didn't show up on your Zoom, okay, they didn't show up. We had some kids that didn't show up at all the entire time. Not very many, by the way, which was good, but we had some. We had some teachers that were working 12 to 14 hours a day doing distance learning, planning their things, and we had other teachers that did the very minimum. amount of interaction. And all of that was okay because it was under a crisis situation. None of that is going to be okay in this situation. You are going to have to provide lessons that are grade level appropriate, rigorous, with homework, with accountability, with attendance. So those are all things that are different. And again, live interaction with every child, with the teachers and other students. Devices. We are, as a district, not only going to be required to provide devices to all of our students and staff that are teaching, we are also going to be required to make sure that they have connectivity. So what that means is potentially we will be looking at turning some of our buses or our vans into mobile hotspots. And we might take one out in the morning and park it by the lake and take another one out to Smartsville, take one out to the country, put one here by the district office. Does that mean that everybody within the city is going to be able to get them? No. What that means is then the parent is going to have to come within a range of that mobile hotspot to be able to access the lessons and so on and so forth. It's problematic for parents that don't have internet. It's problematic for our teachers who don't have internet, and we do have some. So we are still working on that, and we're getting a bid. Chad's working with a company right now to see what that will cost. I do want to mention that lunches will be provided for children during distance learning. It will be different than what we did during the crisis mode. What we did is we handed them out every day at Wheatland L, and we gave them breakfast and lunch, breakfast for the next day, lunch for that day, and then they came in every day. And then we also gave for weekends. We will not be giving for weekends. We will be giving breakfast and lunch every day, but it will be site-based. If the child goes to school at Bear River, they will pick up their lunches at Bear River. If the child goes to school at Lone Tree, they will pick up their lunches at Lone Tree. We have to do it that way for a couple of reasons. But the main one is that it does not exclude anybody. So, for example, the way we did it during the crisis mode, we had a potential of children not being able to get fed because they lived out on base and they couldn't get to Wheatland Up. So that's the way it'll work during distance learning. We do not know yet whether or not the state is going to allow us to feed everybody or just feed those kids on free and reduced lunch. I don't know how we do that. The reality of it is it's probably going to be feed everybody because it's too much to know, have them swipe some card or something like that. So that is in the planning stages as well. So that's kind of in a nutshell what the governor's plan is. So what that means is we have to come up with a robust distance learning plan, which we started and we put out there, and we have a lot of feedback and we have a lot of great ideas coming from teachers that really sat down and looked at it and said, you know, this is fine, but this might look better, or this might work better for our grade level, and that's what we want. So we want that interaction. The other piece of it is that we have to come up with a plan that allows working parents to do something other than have their kindergarten child getting on a computer at 8:30 in the morning to listen to Mrs. Plant give her lesson when they're both at work. So what our plan right now is, we will have multiple things going on. One is we're going to have the distance learning plan that will be augmented from what went out already based on the feedback that we've received and the feedback we'll continue to receive. So we'll have that model going. The other piece of that is that we will ask our instructors, our teachers, to record their lessons so that they can post them on their Google Classroom so that a child can go back to it for reteaching, but also be available for a child who didn't get on it for whatever reason in the morning. And then there'll be hopefully built-in office hours for the teachers where they can then correspond with that child and make sure that they're all going down that road. The other piece that we're building right now is we are going to build a home-based independent study program. The home-based independent study program will be driven most likely by a homeschool computerized program where they get some lessons that are pre-generated and they do the work and then they turn it in once a week. There's not necessarily any instructors, any teachers that will be involved in that, unless we find so many kids going into that that it frees up teachers on the other end, and then we have some that can move over there. We will probably look at using some of our para eds as check-in for the home-based independent study program. But again, we're working through those right now, and we're meeting again on Tuesday to try and kind of augment all of this into a plan that works. Understanding, flat out, we are not going to make everybody happy. It's just impossible because everybody has a different circumstance. So we're going to do what we can do and offer as many programs that we can offer legally so that our children can learn, our teachers can teach, everybody can be safe, and we have an opportunity to do something different than we did in the spring and do it better than we did in the spring. Not that the spring was bad, because it wasn't, but it is something that is new to all of us. None of us went into education that I'm aware of that said, hey, I want to teach no kids except on the computer. But that's what we're forced to do, so that's where we're going. So then what I want to do now is I want to go through the questions that were asked, and I ask that you bear with me and get the answers that we're giving based on the questions that are asked, and hopefully that will answer many of your questions. But if it doesn't, there'll be some opportunities for you to speak after this. Okay, so don't worry, it's only about 8 pages long. So. In fact, I'm going to sit down if you can still hear me. The first question, and there's are not in any particular order, and I tried to take out anything that would say who the question came from. So I took out kids' names and so on and so forth. So first off, I want you to know how much I value the time and effort that you and the administrators have put into creating the draft. These times are most definitely unprecedented and require creative thinking and planning. I appreciate you encouraging staff to ask questions if they have them. And yes, I have questions and thoughts to share. So my response was, I'm glad you have questions and suggestions. It is important that we get a varied perspective. We are working very hard, and the craziness of changes happens often. I think this is the fourth plan we have written. Next question, regarding the late start of August 31st, staff training will definitely be a necessity as we move into a more structured distance learning program. I am wondering why the date was pushed back so far. Could training be scheduled for August 17th through the 21st? This one says 24th, but I'm not typing wrong. 21st, with school starting on August 24th. And I said, my response is, the dates are not set in stone. I went with this date for a number of reasons. One is to get training for our staff while making sure we have sufficient time to get devices and other supplies out to the students. The second is truly hoping that things might change on the state watch list and we can look at bringing students back on a hybrid model if possible. I figured since the requirement is to be 14 days off the watch list, we would push it back as far as we could without causing us to go extremely late into June. I also think it is important for people to know that assuming we are able to come back sometime this fall, January, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But the more days we shave off the front end and add them to the back end, assuming we're back in school, the more days our teachers get to connect with the students in a classroom environment. So for example, the current calendar that the board approved back in February-ish has 86 days before winter break and 94 days after. The draft that I put out has 75 days before winter break and 105 after. So if you believe the experts who say that by January we'll have a vaccine and kids will be back in school, then that gives us 105 of the 180 days to have them in the classroom. So that's really the main purpose, along with the training and, you know, the hope that we'll get off the state watch list, but I just don't know if that's going to happen. So that's that question. And we'll talk more about the calendar in a few. A question I have is about the daily schedule. While I appreciate the structure, if all students are on the same schedule, that would mean that families with multiple children in K through 5 would be on computers at the same time. The little ones are not independent, so I envision a parent who may have to be tech savvy, attempting to assist their child through this process. Might the times be staggered by grade level to accommodate these families? So my response, this is certainly an option, and I think a fairly good one. In building a schedule, what we were trying to accommodate was the live instruction interaction mandate, as well as making sure students received quality instruction from the teacher and independent work time. Also, since grading and attendance is required under the state mandate, having a consistent daily schedule makes lots of sense. But again, we are not opposed to having the staffs at the sites work through a schedule that works for their grade level. Please remember that these schedules were labeled draft for a reason. We do want your input. So that's that question. The next one, will there be live tech support for students and parents? I recall that a great deal of my time during distance learning was spent on tech issues. Often, this was because the programs were unfamiliar to students and parents. Frequently, I would Zoom with individual students and parents and share my screen and walk them through the process. Might there be an in-service session available for parents by our tech team? I said, this is such a good idea regarding the in-service sessions for parents. I will work with administrators and techs on this option, but understand that with the social distancing mandate, it would have to be something that was done with technology. So a virtual training or videos, which is, I think, really the way to go, is using some videos placed on the website that parents can access whenever they need to, will be made available on how to run equipment and work with programs. We do plan to make sure that we have tech support at each site daily to help with issues as they arise. We are also looking, as I explained earlier, about community hotspots where parents can access the internet if they do not have it at home. Next question, regarding the live lessons, would it be acceptable to embed video lessons to our live lessons? A benefit of this is that the student who may or may not have been able to access the live lesson, the video could be loaded to Google Classroom to watch at a later time. Additionally, students could rewatch the lesson for clarification or as a reteach. And I wrote, the simple answer is absolutely yes. I have been talking with a number of parents tonight that are quite concerned because they both work or they're single parents and would not be available to help their children during the scheduled teaching hours. we need to come up with an option for them, which we currently are working on. Recording the lesson seems like one of the best plans. We will need to figure out the accountability and attendance piece of this new mandate in order to do this. Next question, one last thought is about the distribution of material. It is not my desire to meet my students for the first time with a mask or shield on my face. My thought was to have a personal Zoom meeting with each student and their parents during the first few days of school. This would give me the opportunity to get to know each student and learn a bit about the parents' needs as well. Could the distribution of material be handled similarly as the computer checkout last year? And my response was, yes, it sure could be handled that way. We were trying to figure out a way to have the students and teachers have some time to meet. I'm going to go off script here for a second and say, this is very different than in the spring. In the spring, they all knew their teachers, and the teachers all knew their children. But now we have children that are coming into a second grade classroom and getting a teacher that they may have seen last year, but don't have no interaction with them. So that was the attempt. I have heard of some districts that are bringing in students 4 to 8 at a time, social distance, of course, and spending an hour or so together, and then bringing in another 4 to 8 after the room is clean. We were thinking the distribution night would be a good time to put a face with a name, but there is a multitude of ways in making this happen. I think your plan for Zooming with parents and students is fantastic for an elementary class, but I think it would be very difficult for a middle school teacher to do individual Zooms with 145 or so students and parents. We'll continue to work through this plan on trying to connect teachers with students. Next question. Again, I appreciate all the thought and effort that is going into creating a positive learning opportunity for students. Wheatland Elementary School.
Stay.
We'll be right back.
Alexa, turn on 105.1 KNCI.
Can we mute whoever is calling Alexa? That'd be great. Wheatland Elementary teachers are committed to educating students as well as looking out for the social and emotional health. Safe environment. We are all in the center, and we have, with appropriate training and support, we will rock this. And my response, it wasn't really a question, but I felt the need to respond. So I said, I know that our teachers will make this work. It is not an ideal situation, but with the teachers that we have, I'm sure that the Wheatland School District will rock whatever is put in front of them. Will our teachers' trainings be together in a room or virtual? Currently, our plan is to have the trainings on site in a large room, Ampere gym, with plenty of social distancing and masks. The idea was, again, the training is still to be determined because it's tied to a lot of different things, negotiations with the union, the calendar, so on and so forth. But assuming we do have it, in a large room, Bear River teachers would be at Bear River, most likely in the gym, most likely in 10-foot squares, masks on, so on and so forth. Wheatland L would have theirs in the MP room. Lone Tree would have theirs in their cafeteria, or out with the rattlesnakes, either one, their choice. So it is the hope to get everybody together, but if somebody is not feeling if they have a doctor's note or something that says they can't really do that, then we certainly would work with them on including them in Zoom or something like that. As you know, by this meeting, Zoom is not super user-friendly. All right, next question. I am concerned about that half our day is spent just sitting in the classroom and not providing direct instruction to our students. SB 98 said that we have to provide live interaction. However, with the schedule, I'm only providing live instruction 3 times a week to each group. Many middle school teachers complained that this was problematic in the spring because there was not enough time to truly provide instruction to our students, and being so limited in the amount of time that we were allowed to actually teach. Is the schedule set, or can it be discussed further? My response was, as labeled, it's a draft schedule. Our site administrator continues to look at this and will definitely work with the staff on what works best. However, asking students to be on their computer 6 hours a day so that they go to each class is not reasonable. If a middle school student followed their normal schedule, they would be on the computer for approximately 6 hours or go off and on many times as they move teachers. As for the afternoons, it is the expectation that teachers will not be sitting in their classrooms, but they would be using that time to work with small groups or individuals for interventions or reteaching or making valuable videos for the next day, or working with parents. I mean, there's a whole multitude of things. Next question. Sitting in our classroom for office hours and not working with students feels daunting, just sitting alone in the classroom. In the past, we have always struggled with internet support. Internet to support our classrooms all at once. They tell us on certain days not to stream if there's something else going on. Did we make upgrades over the summer? If not, how will the internet support all of us streaming at the same time in the morning? I said, I do not believe we're going to have any issues with our internet connectivity, but this is really a Chad or Nick question. So Chad, would you like to say anything about, do we have any issues with all of them being on at the same time?
No, we just typically what we do is during testing period, we don't want interruption. So we try to limit the streaming across our district during testing because anything can disrupt it while we're testing, and we don't want that. So typically we put in a policy in place or we ask that there be no streaming during the testing times. Other than that, no, there should be no issues.
Thank you. Next question. 30% of our teaching population is high risk. Therefore, the meet and greet seems unrealistic. We are being mandated by the governor to not do in-person instruction in order to stay safe. Yet, we are being asked by our district to interact with numerous populations on 2 separate nights. This will be done with masks and not in a happy environment. Wouldn't meeting your teacher online without masks be a more practical in this pandemic situation? I said, this is something that I discussed above, but yes, we are trying to find opportunities for our staff and students to actually meet, since these are all new students to their teachers and new teachers to their students. For those that are of high risk and feel the distribution night is not going to work for them, we'll need to work on other ways for them to meet with the students. Also, if the staff cannot do any portion of their job, then they should see their physician and have a note written. Then the staff member would be able to take any proper leave according to what we cannot accommodate for that staff member. Next question. I do understand this is a horrible situation to be in and try to navigate as administrators, staff, and students. I'm sad for us all that it is this scenario that we have to navigate. Thank you for your hard work and time. My response to that was, yes, it's the worst thing I've had to deal with in my many years of education. There is no great answers, and we continually ask by the state to revamp our plans based on the current situation. The stress is even more difficult with all of us, including our parents and our staff. It is our hope to work together with all of our staff and our parents to do the very best thing we can for our students, given the ever-changing environment. Please understand, much of this is out of our control. we are mandated by people who have no idea what education looks like from a teacher's perspective, or working parents or administrators, or for our students. Next question. I'm sure you are all fielding a ton of emails tonight. I hope all is going well. We have two kids at Wheatland Elementary, another child that will be attending the Wheatland preschool. What are the options for families who need to drive their child to the preschool during the hours in which the other children need to be online for distance learning? I said, well, this is not a question that I've had yet, but thank you. We are going to be working on a plan based on the input we get over the next couple weeks. This question is one that I will address and seems to be similar to how we do, similar to do what we're going to do for a working family or single parents. I have had many questions from working parents that cannot work with the schedule either. We are looking at something to help this situation as well. Most likely, we will be going to offer the distance learning, as you have seen it, with live and recorded teaching. We are also going to offer some sort of home-based independent study program to meet the needs of those that just cannot make the distance learning model work for them. Stay tuned for more information on this model, but basically it will be more of an independent study type program where students will receive work and they will be completed, but there will not be individual instruction from teachers. But they can complete their work on nights, weekends, or whatever is convenient for the parent. The other thing I need to say right now, I'll probably actually, there's a question about it, but we do plan on having preschool. We do have plan on having students in preschool come to preschool. There is no executive order on preschool. We have been in touch with the state preschool over the last week. And at this point, it is the plan to bring them back to school on the first day of whichever calendar we follow. But that could change. Hi, Craig. I guess my biggest concern is the short attention span of our youngest students. Is there any flexibility in this plan for the different age groups? I cannot imagine that 3-40 minute live lessons online would be appropriate for our K through 2 kiddos. Could these sessions be divided into 2 20-minute small group sessions? I fear that this plan takes rigorous to it a bit too far for families that have multiple children. I do appreciate all the hard work put into this proposal. I said, yes, I believe the schedule needs work and input from staff at those grade levels is essential. This schedule was put together in order to make sure we met the mandate. We are caught between the state mandate and what essentially is best for kids. We all know bringing students back, whether it be full-time or in a hybrid model, is much better than the distance learning, but those options are not currently available. Again, we are stuck between a rock and a hard place with the state mandates, health and safety of all students, staff, parents, social emotional needs of the students, and so on. We all just want to do what's best for the students. We are still working on a plan based on all the feedback we have received and we continue to receive. We know whatever we do will not meet everyone's needs, but we will keep plugging away at this ever-changing plan. More work is needed, we know, and we will continue to work on this. Next question. My son attends Lone Tree Elementary on Beale Air Force Base and will be in first grade this year. My wife and I are both active duty and have jobs that take us away from the standard hours of operation that you have outlined in your reopening plan. Additionally, I am deploying soon and will not be available to help. These are not uncommon occurrences in today's parentage, especially when you have a single parent that cannot take time off work for the sake of their children. What exactly is the district doing for students that will have access to the program material at these scheduled times? That will not have access to these program materials at this scheduled time. What is the district doing to be flexible with parents that will not be able to meet their commitments? There is no mention of any flexible time frames after normal school hours that parents could be available to ensure their children were able to stay up to date with the required educational outcomes. Is this something the district considered in its reopening plan? So my response to this parent was, yes, we are working on options for parents like you in this kind of situation. The state has given us no guidance on how to deal with working families, but we will have something in place so students can do their work at times more convenient with a working parent. Stay tuned for what looks like to be an option of a home-based independent study program. Next question.
You need like a reader. You know how they have readers at those long program things where you switch?
Not sure if this can be answered since the situation changes constantly. With the teachers doing live instruction, what will the paraeducators do? Are they going to be involved in Zoom, Google Classroom? Sorry if you've already answered these questions. I want to make sure I'm doing my part in helping the kids in any and all ways that I can. Again, thank you for the updates and working so hard. I said, we are working on what staff that normally work with students directly will be doing in the distance learning environment. Most likely some sort of support or intervention, but we just have not gotten there yet. Our paraeducators will likely be involved in the home school independent study program, but again, we're still working through the answers to this question. There is a single exemption in the executive order. Local health officers may grant a waiver to elementary schools to reopen in-person instruction if the waiver is requested by the district superintendent in consultation with labor, parents, and community-based organizations. When considering a waiver request, the local health officer must consider local data and consult with the California Department of Public Health. So my answer to that question is, I have been working with the county and they are finalizing the document allowing for, and this is where I'm gonna add a little bit, for TK through 6 or TK through 8, because we're getting a double message here. They say elementary school, but then another thing says K-8 school districts. So I'm going to leave it at TK through 5 and exclude middle school right now for the ability to get a waiver, but that may change. The key provisions of the waiver are concurrence and support of the unions, the community, the county superintendent, submission of a mitigation plan that addresses safety guidelines. All requests will need final approval from Dr. Liu, the Yuba Center Public Health Officer. I'm going to add my answer to this question that the district has every intention of attempting to get the waiver if we can get all parties to agree to be able to start back in some capacity, but the waiver is not currently available. I've reviewed the new reopening plan. This question, I've reviewed the new reopening plan and the details of distance learning. My concerns are as follows. And then I just wrote back to this person that please note that it's a draft plan with modifications happening every day. We are listening to the input and adjusting accordingly. And then they asked, my TK student, as sweet and compliant as she is, will not be able to attend to 1.5 hours of direct instruction on a screen 5 days a week and complete independent work on top of that. It's just too much. My response was, we understand this and we'll be modifying the schedule accordingly with the input of the TKK staff. We are We will be continuing to work on a schedule over the next few weeks. Personally, I agree that the draft schedule that we put out is too much for the littles, and we need to modify it. Again, it was a draft, and we have received a lot of information and input, and we are listening and making the changes. Next question. We'd like the option to do independent study rather than live distance learning, but I recently saw a comment on Facebook that indicated that even students who signed up for independent study would be included in the distance learning plans until school can open in some capacity. My response was, we will be offering some sort of home-based independent study track for our students. Next one, my daughter will most likely have to return to preschool during the day. So this is the same parent that has the child TK age. My daughter will most likely have to return to preschool during the day as I have to be on my campus and my husband works full-time out of the area. There is no way she can participate in live lessons while she is there. And then my response was, we're looking at a way to help our employees with childcare needs while they are at work. That may also include the high school employees, but this is still to be determined. The rules, of course, are changing on who we can bring in, so please stay tuned. Next question. I saw that the district has an option to request a waiver from our public health officer to open lower elementary classes. I would fully support our district in doing so. I hope that you decide to move in that direction. I said we will hopefully be putting in the waiver once it becomes available. However, it does take agreements with the labor groups, community groups, and others. We are not sure we will get all the agreements necessary, but we plan to try once we receive the information from our health department. And I do want to kind of throw something in right here. We are being lumped as a group in Yuba and Sutter County as one health advisor for Yuba and Sutter County. So therefore, we're being lumped as a group as two counties being looked at as one. I did some research today, and the best I could find is to break it down to the number of cases that have happened. There's been only 35 cases between Plumas Lake and Wheatland. They do not split Plumas Lake and Wheatland, so I don't have the actual numbers for Wheatland, but for Plumas Lake and Wheatland, there have only been 35 cases. So that, to me, I think they're looking at it I'm not in charge. But they're looking at it incorrectly. They should be looking at it on a city-by-city basis or a territory-by-territory, however you want to look at it, because just because Yuba County may have a lot of cases, if they're all in Marysville and they're not in Wheatland, why aren't we being held to the same standard? But that's the way they're doing it. Next question. I know you all agree that we need kids in school. Yes, we do agree with that. I'd love to see us reopen as soon as possible, waiver? And as normal as possible. Our kids' social and emotional well-being and development is very important. They may, so I just said we agree 100%. We need the state and others to see it the same way in order to get our students back in the classroom. But at this point, that is not an option. Thank you for all that you do and for doing the best interest of children in mind. I love Wheatland School District and are excited that my daughter will be part of the Wheatland Elementary family. And I just said we're excited to have her with us. Next question, what about preschool? I said we are working with the state preschool department, but all information to date is that we are going to open our preschools with children present, no masks, for the students unless they choose to wear them. Staff will wear face shields, cleaning will be ramped up in those buildings, and outside learning will be emphasized. In other words, going out on the grass and those types of things. Preschool is a three-hour program. It is from 8:30 to 11:30 in the morning, and as of right now, we're planning on having that start with whatever calendar we end up with. what happens if we reopen and there is a case of COVID at one of our schools? So this is the question that has come up a number of times. The State Department issued updated guidance for when schools must physically close and revert back to distance learning because of COVID-19 infections. Following a confirmed case of a student who was at school during his or her infectious period, other exposed students and staff should be quarantined for 14 days. The school should revert to distance learning only when multiple cohorts have cases or 5% of your students and staff test positive within a 14-day period. The district should revert to distance learning when 25% the district, so that was a school site. Now, the district should revert to distance learning when 25% or more of its schools have been physically closed due to COVID-19 for 14 days. Closure decisions should be made in consultation with your local health officer. After 14 days, school districts may return to in-person instruction with the approval of the local public health officer. I will also say, because this question came up earlier, if we go off the state watch list and we are back in school, and I don't know, I may have already said this, we are back in school and then we go back on the state watch list, we get to stay in school. We do not have to go back into distance learning. What is the mask requirement? I talked about this earlier, but I'll just tell you my answer. The newest mask requirements for anyone in school as follows. In the updated guidance, all staff and students in third grade and above will be required to wear a mask or a face covering. Students in second grade and below are strongly encouraged to wear a face covering, but they are not required. Students should be provided a face covering if they do not have one. Coverings for students support school to reopen and ensure all students can participate in learning. So that is what the state says. What about social distancing? Physical distancing requirement by the CDPH requires that all adults stay 6 feet away from one another and 6 feet away from children. Students should maintain 6 feet of distance from one another as much as practical and feasible. Anyone entering the school must do a health screen, and any student or staff exhibiting a fever or any other symptoms will immediately be sent home. The guidance also provides that if anyone in the student or staff member's household is sick, they should self-quarantine and stay home. Why do we have to follow a schedule for teaching and learning? The answer, the executive order indicates rigorous distance learning model. Over the course of the pandemic, most schools will likely face physical closure at some point due to COVID-19. The legislator and Governor Newsom enacted a budget that is supposed to provide additional funding to support learning and set requirements to ensure schools provide rigorous and grade appropriate instruction. Under the newly enacted state law, school districts are required to A, provide devices and connectivity to every child so they can participate in distance learning. B, provide daily live and interactive instruction to every child with teachers and other students. So in other words, not one-on-one, but with other students. C, class assignments that are challenging and equivalent to in-person instruction. And D, targeted supports and interventions for English learners and special education students. So we are looking for a couple different models on how to meet this state law and meet the needs of our students, staff, and parents. We will follow a teaching schedule in order to make sure that we meet the live instruction interactive criteria. However, we will also have a plan for teachers to record their lessons and make them available to students through Google Classroom that need to watch it later or watch it again with parents. We also plan to start a home-based independent study program where families can choose the time to do their work. This program will not have daily interactions with teaching staff, but families will have access potentially to parent educators for help. This program was designed with the working parents in mind so that they can meet the educational needs of the student and the time constraints of being a working parent. It will be available for TK through eighth grade, but truly it's more in line for the young ones that cannot access live lessons on their own. Sixth, seventh, and eighth graders should be able to get on and be able to access on their own, but it will be available for all. So that's all the questions that I've received up to date. There'll be more, I am sure. So I do want to talk a little bit about the draft calendar that is on the agenda and why it is there. I think I mentioned it earlier, but currently the approved student calendar has staff returning on August 10th, no staff or students on August 11th, and currently it would have distance learning starting on August 12th. It goes through with the normal holidays. At Thanksgiving, it would be 5 days off, Monday through Friday. In December, it's 2 weeks off. There's January, there's two holidays. February, there's 6 days off. And then April is spring break, so there's 6 days off. And then they end on June 3rd. There's 180 days in this calendar with 181 staff days. There's 86 days before winter break and 94 days after winter break. The calendar that I brought forward as a draft that will not be voted on tonight, but it is a draft, would have school sites opening back up on August 10th, staff development August 24th through the 28th, again, to be determined based on negotiations and such. Students coming back or starting on distance learning, depending on whether we're on the watch list or not, but distance learning on August 31st. The difference in November is they would be on distance learning or in school. I'm going to reverse that. They will be in school or on distance learning November 23rd and 24th of Thanksgiving break, so they would come 2 days of Thanksgiving. There'll still be the 2 weeks at Christmas. There would be no February break, but there would be the two holidays that were in there in that February break. There would be 5 days at spring break, not six. And then we would end 1 week later, which is June 10th. This is 180 days of student, potentially 185 staff days, and it is 75 days before winter break and 105 days after winter break. I would be remiss in not telling you that the high school and Plumas Lake at this point have chosen not to move their calendar. They will be starting August 13th. The high school was on board with us, but when Plumas Lake wouldn't come over, based on my conversation yesterday, is the high school is probably going to stay with Plumas Lake.
I have a question that I just noticed. This is Rana. About the parent conferences, you took them off of the new one because of...
Well, I took them off. I mean, they would go back on, assuming we're back in school, but right now parent-teacher conferences would be very different. And I don't know that we would have a week of parent-teacher conferences as much as the teachers would Zoom with the parents as needed. So right now, I just took it off. If we are back in school by then and we are able to have parent-teacher conferences accordingly, then we would put those back. So that's all I have for the information tonight. I have first to ask or speak. Let me find my list here because I want to do it in the order in which I heard from these people. Well, I know it was Elaine. I can't find my list, but Elaine, would you like to unmute yourself and ask any questions or have anything you would like to say?
Hello, everybody. My name is Elaine Guzman. I am a seventh grade teacher at Bear River Middle School. And I wanted to share my concerns with the reopening plan and the calendar as a teacher. So first of all, I'm concerned that teachers are not, according to what I've seen, teachers are not given the flexibility to teach distance learning from home or on campus. Personally, all my materials are online. So I don't need to be in the classroom to access supplies. To my knowledge, there's no state mandate requiring teachers to conduct distance learning in their classrooms. Number two, logistically, from my experience, the Wi-Fi bandwidth at Bear River Middle School cannot accommodate teachers using video streaming simultaneously. So to me, that's a logistical issue, and I don't see how that's going to work out. Number three, working from home allows me to save the district money, since I will not be using air conditioner, electricity, bathrooms, nor my classroom. So therefore, with the sanitation and the daily sanitation and personnel to do so would not be required. Number four, teachers that are high risk for COVID are placed at high risk to be required to come to campus and bring their own children for childcare while they teach distance learning from their classroom. High risk means that you have a strong likelihood of dying. I can't imagine placing staff in this scenario. Number five. Having a meet and greet for students and teachers with a table at their classroom door is another opportunity to spread the virus. Students and parents can safely see their teacher virtually through Zoom. I know it's not ideal, but this pandemic is not ideal either. We have to place safety as our top priority above all. Six, the proposed daily schedule is requiring meetings and enrichment sessions which detract from the time I need as a teacher to communicate with students about assignments, grading, and planning. In regards to the calendar, here are my concerns, and there are five. One, do not push the start date. Leave it as is. There are too many unknowns, and how long are we going to keep pushing it back to wait and see if our county comes off the watch list? Teachers want to begin school and start connecting with our students and families. Let's try to maintain some regularity. Two, this new calendar creates an imposition for our families who also have children at the high school. Now their children will be on different schedules, further adding stress to their lifestyle. Three, I propose starting with the original calendar. The first week would be teacher training and student tablet distribution. Then we officially begin instruction on Monday, August 17th. Four, have an evaluation date, say in 6 weeks or at the end of the first trimester, to see how the county cases are going and to see if we can move into a hybrid model. Create a pivot plan at the evaluation point to go hybrid, allowing us to easily pivot back to distance learning or move forward with full days, depending on the number of cases in our county. I appreciate you listening to my thoughts and concerns about these proposals, and I hope that you take them into consideration as you make these very critical decisions that affect so many people. Thank you.
So I just want to touch on a couple of those comments just to reiterate. We understand the meet and greet, and I think I talk about that in the questions, and that we will have a plan that will allow those who wish to do it to do it, and those who don't will have a different option. The high risk, strong likelihood of dying. To date, I've received no notification from any employees that have any doctor's notes that say they are high risk. If we had one, we certainly would work with that employee to make sure that we could meet all of the needs. The sanitation issue related to saving the district money, I agree that electricity and or water would be a savings. The savings for cleaning would not be there. We are not allowed under the new executive order to lay off any of our custodians. So they are being paid whether they clean or not. On the calendar piece, the only thing, I understand exactly what you're saying, the imposition for families. I get that if they have a kid at the other school site. The one thing I will say, if they're all on distance learning, the imposition is less than if they weren't on distance learning. Using the original calendar, and this is really the point I want to get to, because we cannot go less than 180 days with students. So we may not start the week on the same days that we have the first 3 or 4 days of work with students staying home while we pass out computers and do the training, because now we are down to 177 days of instruction. And although the state has allowed less minutes, they have not allowed less days. So if we did that, we would have to add 3 days somewhere else in order to have those students in school for the 180 days. So as for a pivot plan, I like that word, by the way, a pivot plan to go hybrid and something else. Of course, we're working on that as we speak, on what will it look like to jump back and forth. And that is not something that is easy for anybody. Evaluation date, and I think you said evaluation date and potentially looking at pushing it out at some point and giving parents a date. There are districts that are doing that. We have districts in Northern California that I'm aware of that said we're on distance learning until December. We're not changing it. Doesn't matter if we go off the watch list or don't go off the watch list. We're on it. That is definitely an avenue that we can go. I would not push it out that far, but we could look at potentially a date. But I think as soon as we can bring kids back, we ought to bring kids back, under understanding the safety issue that Elaine spoke to. So I think that's all of the ones that I would like to respond to based on what you said. So next we have Heather Selkin. Before you start, Heather, I would like to ask that if you have questions that were already asked, that we're not repeating those questions, just for sake of time, but if you feel you need to ask it, by all means do. So Heather, you're up.
Well, a lot of my stuff seems like Elaine and I got together, but I mean, it's worded a little bit different, but so I know that we're all feeling so much pressure and stress. Parents, students, administration, board members, teachers, we have all had an unbelievable 4 months. Life has not been easy, to say the least. Unfortunately, in our country, we have made this pandemic a political one versus about being about science. And as a science teacher, that's so hard to see that happening in a country that I feel so passionately about, but I also feel so passionately about my profession. So today I'm speaking as a teacher and on behalf of other colleagues that have reached out to me. I want you all to know that we do want to go back into the classroom. It's built in us to be teachers, to be with our students. Our passion is to work with our students, to build relationships with them, to hug them, to help them, to love them, and most of all, to educate them. We truly long for that, but unfortunately, in these pandemic times, it doesn't allow us to return to the classroom as what we knew as normal. So safety has to be our number one priority, not just for students, but especially for teachers and staff. We have a unique district filled with wonderful teachers that, in my opinion, would be hard to replace. We do have a high population that are at risk. I know a lot of people say the chance is very slim that someone could die from COVID, but what if it is one of our teachers, or one of the teacher's family members that they bring it home to unknowingly, or a middle school student that spreads it to their families? Many of our teachers are facing serious health issues this year, autoimmunes, diabetes, high blood pressure, and sadly, even more severe medical issues. They're scared. Many have recently filled out wills out of fear of being placed in an unsafe environment. But with that said, we still want to be in the classroom, but under safe and strict guidelines. I know distance learning was not ideal. Parents were unhappy from the spring because guidelines were not given. Consistency or help was difficult. We were all just thrown into it, administrators, teachers, students. Teachers were unhappy because there wasn't training, guidelines, or grading, but that was mandated from the state. But students just chose not to do it because there wasn't grading. Yet we find ourselves in this platform again. We truly believe it can be better, and it sounds like from what Craig just spoke about that it is being put into place, so we appreciate that. With training, clear expectations on all sides, and strong support, it will look very different this time around, so I ask for parents to give us grace. We have to remember this is a temporary solution. It will not be forever. We can make this work if we work together. Finally, I want to address the calendar. As teachers, we feel we can start on time instead of waiting until the 31st to be off the list. It seems that is also a big if with the way that the numbers have been tracking the last several weeks in Yuba County. I'm hoping the board will reconsider a set date to start as in the classroom and reevaluate maybe at progress report or trimester end. And this gives the families a consistent plan that allows them to plan accordingly. When I see and hear families upset, most of it stems from the back and forth and the unknown of not knowing what will happen when. We have the power to solve that. We could train in our normal week starting August 12th, distribute materials, start students the following week with a clear date, and reevaluate the status just like the high school is doing. This also gives families the ability to do independent study instead of having to do distance learning and then switch to independent study. It seems worrisome to me that changing the calendar disrupts families even further. The high school's not changing, therefore siblings and families will no longer have the same holiday or summer release schedule. In the past, we've always coordinated this new with this plan, and this new plan would take that away. I do understand the weight of decisions that you all must feel as board. We have all been under tremendous stress and pressure with things that have been thrown at us. I just ask that you have an open mind when it comes to the calendar and syncing with our high school, as well as how we restart back in school. Thank you.
So again, I want to reiterate, if I heard Heather correctly, we cannot not have the children come to school the first 3 days without making those days up somewhere else. So if we do training that first week, the week of August 11th, if we do not have the students start on distance learning on the 10th, and then the 13th, 12th, then those 3 days have to be made up somewhere else. It is not an option to just say, they're not coming, we're using that time to distribute lessons, we're not doing anything except professional development. If the students are not engaged, they are not counted as days. Those 3 days have to go somewhere else. Secondly, the other piece of the calendar, that the only difference between us and the high school will be 1 week at the end. So the high school goes till June 4th. We would go till June 10th. If there's, you know, I think that what's being looked at is that we're considering this calendar on the hopes that we'll get off the list. And that is one of three reasons that I mentioned. The first reason is giving our staff, and not just our teachers, but our administrators and everybody else, time to get this thing going in a way in which it will be productive for children. Second is, if we are able to bring kids back in the spring, then we've added days to the end for more connection with students. It is not about only hoping that the we'll get off the list before the 31st and go. Sure, is that a hope? Yeah, it's a hope, but that's not why I would propose the later start date. The other two are the main reasons. Next up is Robin. Robin Richardson, sorry.
It's okay. Good afternoon, board members. Most of you know me here, but for those who don't, I'm Robin Richardson. I teach eighth grade language arts at Bear River. I'm also a parent of a child that went through this district and is currently in the high school district with special needs. I am also have the unique ability of having to be a resident here as well of Wheatland. I wouldn't live anyplace else, to be honest, and teach here. Some of my concerns are related specifically to the schedule and mandating teachers in the classroom, as well as the calendar. So when I was looking over the draft, and I do understand that it is in draft form that is subject to change, I think we need to protect our teachers and our staff and our students, all three pieces, to the best of our absolute ability. We are in an unprecedented pandemic that is not under control, certainly not under control in the state of California and not under control in Yuba County. Our positivity rate that I've been tracking in the last week or so is going up and up and up. It's not going down. We do have a large number of teachers. Per a survey we did, one third of our teaching staff is at high risk. I happen to be one of those. Why are we mandating teachers to be in a classroom, to be sharing restrooms with other adults that obviously, you know, may or may not get cleaned in between each time someone uses that? Why do we feel that need? I as myself personally, am a professional, and I will do my job to the best of my ability 150% of the time. Anyone who knows me knows that's a true statement. So when I look at the schedule and I see, okay, we have intervention or small groups from 1 to 3, and I think to myself automatically, well, that's probably not going to work for me, because what do I do with the parents who need some extra help and it doesn't fall between 1 and 3? So then I would say, okay, well, I'm probably going to head home between 1 and 3, and I'm going to meet with my kids between 5 and 7 or 6 and 8. There were many times in this spring that I met with students at 9 o'clock at night, at 9:30 at night. I was on with computers and walking them through how to get on your computer, troubleshooting with parents at 6:30 in the morning before they went to work. So I think as educators, we need to be given that option and that flexibility to meet not only our needs, but to meet the needs of our students. For teachers with school-age children, we're going to give them an option, and I think the district's intent was good, to give them an option to bring their school-age children to the site to be able to be supervised under another program. However, that's problematic. If we are not allowed to have students on our site, why would we be putting a bunch of children of different ages together on our sites? Again, sharing the same restroom facilities, sharing the same rooms, those kinds of things. As professionals, I think we need to be able to choose what's best for our students, what's best for our families and our children who are distance learning as well. I know it's not an easy choice. I know it's not an easy decision, but I'm going to ask the board, please reach out to your teachers, to our admin. Please reach out to our teachers, to our district. Please reach out to your teachers. Let's get together. Let's have meetings and committees, and let's talk about what may or may not work best. Let's address this together. Let's solve this together. We see all these places all around that say we're in this together. Well, let's truly put us all together. 50 heads are better than one. And in terms of the calendar, it is different than the high school. My daughter will be a sophomore at the high school. Her Thanksgiving break is different. Her February break is different. Her Christmas break is off by a day. Her spring break is off by a day. And I thought when we changed the calendar last year, prior to COVID, that the goal was when we switched from the 3 weeks at the Christmas winter break to 2 weeks and then doing a February break, was so that we could be on the same calendar with all of the neighboring districts. That was our goal, because we share students, we share families, not just with Wheatland Union High, but we share families with East Nick, we share families with Marysville. So we are intermingled there. And the goal was to create a two-year calendar so parents, teachers, staff could plan. And now we're going to change that plan. And I'm not sure that's in the best interest of our students, our families, or our communities. It makes it very difficult for those parents and those students to be on a different schedule. I am going to reiterate what my colleague said. I don't know what the answer is for training, but I think our kids need to be back in some sort of school setting, whether it's distance learning, hybrid, or in person, earlier rather than later. My kids have been away from me since March. I had to say goodbye to them virtually. However, the new kids I can start building relationship with on the 12th of August. Typically we have all day in service. We could use that day and maybe use the Tuesday to do this training. And then our kids could start and hit the ground running. Or maybe they start on the 17th, but that's still only a few days that we need to change versus 2.5 weeks of time. Our kids are craving some sort of interaction or some sort of normal schedule. I think pushing it back another 2 weeks is doing a disservice to them. I think we need to look at the bigger picture, and that is, I want my students back. I want them back sooner rather than later, because I don't have a crystal ball in my hand. I don't know that on the 31st of August, this is all going to go away. I wish it would, but I don't know that. And I certainly don't have MD after my name. Right now. So I need to trust those professionals that do, like our local county health officer, like the epidemiologist, like the infectious disease specialist. I need to trust them, our scientists, that we're in a huge crisis and it's not going away anytime soon. We can say Yuba County's isolated, but we're not really. We travel to Sacramento, we travel to Sutter County, we're back and forth all the time. So waiting for this magical day that may or may not happen is a bit daunting for me. I think we all want our students back, and I think sooner rather than later is best. And I do thank you all for the time that you have put in. I know everyone that I'm looking at sitting here, teachers, administrators from all three schools I see, our superintendent, our board members. I don't think any of us has had a summer. I think our summer has been completely COVID, and we all just want this to be over. But we need to come together and work for what meets the needs of everybody collectively. And don't think that because I may disagree with you on a point, I think any less of you. I think we are a team and we can continue to move forward as a team and do what's best for everybody involved. Thank you for your time.
Jody Chapman.
Well, I think most of my comments and thoughts have been addressed through things that you said, Craig, about why we looked at the calendar being pushed out. I can certainly see the other points of views on that. But pushing the calendar out, the thought was, and now the thought of, if teachers don't want to do the meet and greets in their, at their tables or outside their classrooms, we need to orchestrate another plan within the school. And that will take some time as well, and to get all the technology ready to go and out to those students. We're still pulling in surveys for who needs the technology. We'll still have to do the Wi-Fi distribution of how that's going to happen, whether it be by a bus or what manner. The schedule, we have a lot of input from teachers, which we love and appreciate very much, and it helps a ton. But we still have schedules to look at and getting things ironed out, and it's, the clock is ticking on us. And I know that Craig, one of the fine points that you made about the schedule or the calendar was that it's possible we'd have more time with students if we pushed it out a bit, more time if we got them back in class. Huge ifs. None of us have a crystal ball. None of us can have that answer. And I sure wish somebody could, but unfortunately, none of us can. So I think we've heard a lot of really good viewpoints and insights this evening. It gives us a lot to work with as we go forward. But I do want everyone to know that it's important, the comments and the relationships that are built and the trust, because we are all in this together, and we do have a lot to work out. There are a lot of details here. And I think Craig said it in a very fine way that we are not going to make everyone happy, no matter what any of us think is better or what we think is right, or, you know, all of us working together won't make everyone happy. There's always going to be a family that might need something different than we can provide. And it's very unfortunate that we can't get a system that works for everyone. So I hope that when we rework some plans and take this input into account, that we can come to something that is workable for all.
So I would just reiterate, thank you, Jody. I would just reiterate that if we do not change the calendar, we have 2 weeks and 2 days before school starts to move a ship into a distance learning model. So if that's where we go, then we'll move heaven and earth to make it happen, and that's what we'll do. But I think that's asking a whole heck of a lot out of administrators that have been here most of the summer to try and move forward. Because today is the 23rd, so we have all next week, the week after, and then it would be some sort of staff development and kids starting. So it's not just around the corner. I mean, it is just around the corner. Peter, did you have anything you want to add or no?
I did. I wanted a question for Chad because it came up and I wanted to get his take on it. But I also want to apologize. I've got a contractor in the house working in the bathroom. So if you hear saws in the background, that's just one of those distractions, I guess. It's always been fun in Zooms because of that. But Chad, I had a question about bandwidth. The statement came up that teachers will have trouble with the bandwidth within their classroom. It would that be true? Would that hold true when there's no other kids on campus as well? Or does that free up the bandwidth so we don't have some of those problems? And I ask that question because on the flip side of that, we have teachers who had bandwidth issues at home. We had internet providers, you know, drops. We had interruptions. We had to put hotspots out there. And I was a proponent of having the teachers be on campus for lack of distractions, but also because the technology would work and work better than probably from home. And so, Chad, can you tell me, you know, can we guarantee the teachers are going to have good bandwidth at school and be able to deliver the lessons without interruptions?
Yeah, so basically what happens, what was happening in previous years is that when you have, like, let's take Bear River, for example, if we have four clusters of rooms with 32 kids all streaming, the antenna's got to look certain ways. So basically, if we have students in one room diagonal from the other, and they're doing intensive work, the antennas are focused in on that room. So then if you have it on the complete diagonal other side, a lot of activity or a lot of device activity, it has a little bit of a trouble trying to, on older devices, look towards that direction to pick up connectivity. So to kind of explain or kind of answer your question, when there should be only single teachers in classrooms, the bandwidth should be no problems. It's usually when there's multiple devices in a single area where we start to see crawling or issues. I can tell you too that we have in works through our E-Rate program, specifically at Bear River, to upgrade all of our fiber up from single mode to multi-mode, which should provide faster speeds to each cluster area of Bear River. So we did find this out coming closer, right before COVID came. We found out that we had single mode going to every single IDF cabinet, probably a little bit more information that you need. But we did put in for E-rate, you know, government funding that we get for free and reduced numbers to upgrade from single mode to multi-mode, which will increase the speeds. I mean, we do have APs that are fantastic that have can give almost the best coverage. And if you know anything about bandwidth, we have 10 gig backbone to every switch. So we do have plenty of bandwidth. It's just multiple devices and certain technologies that kind of prohibit when you add like a whole bunch of devices on one AP. Now, what we did last year too, is we tried to kind of put some in different areas to see what they would work. And I know I worked with Peggy during that time. So we kind of did an assessment. I know last year with, and I worked with Peggy and I worked with Christine and Andrew too, to kind of see where we may need to upgrade or change an AP or move one. And as far as I was under the impression that things got better, but just things weren't as great at, I will say, Bear River when we had 32 plus 4 or 5 per classroom or times 4 or 5 streaming at or doing intensive things all at once. It would crawl, and I believe that's because it was single mode, not multi-mode. So I'm hoping we get that through. E-rate was just funded, so we have to go through that process, and then the company will come out and upgrade us from single mode to multi-mode. So long story short, it actually shouldn't be any issues having teachers, especially if they're hardwired in. That should be no problem. It's always the Wi-Fi that becomes part of the issue. And when they're, like I said, when more multiple devices are connected to one AP.
Chad, can you bring up the chat so we can see if there's any questions in the chat?
I have some parents here that might have
taken. And if I get a chance, Craig, I'd like to.
Well, go ahead, Ange, while we're.
So just to address a couple of the concerns that came up, I really appreciate everybody's input. And I know on site, I had multiple groups of teachers who were looking at the schedule and modifying the schedule and coming up with some really great ideas to address some of the concerns and to meet their needs as teacher groups. Our 4-5 team really kind of knocked it out of the park. And came up with a really nice plan that I'm eager to share with the other administrative teams. It's always nerve-wracking, but I do think this is a time that we can kind of look at some alternative ways of teaching and maybe even bring some excitement back into teaching, because it gets us outside the box a little bit. And sometimes you have to take these crises and you have to turn it into something positive, and I think we can do that for kids. And we have a pretty amazing group of staff universally across the district. The one, you know, there was a couple of points that were brought up and it made it sound like a negative. And I just really want to thank the board and Craig for kind of thinking outside of the box and looking at, you know, we do have to go back to work. And we as teachers, we do have to educate other people's children, but they have allowed the opportunity to bring our children on campus and receive help so that we could educate other people's children while providing homeschool. Some of our teachers are fortunate that their kids are grown. Some of us still have our kids and they need that daily help. So I don't think it's putting anybody at risk any more so than if I had to send my child off to a daycare situation, which many of these families are scrambling to do right now. Because they have to go to work and their kids have to be educated. And so they're looking for daycare locations. So I think having them in an environment that we know the people, we know the other children that are coming to campus, we do have control and it is going to be sanitized and we do have the shields. It's a great time for us to test out some of our methods for when the kids actually come back to campus and see how our protocols are in place and work with these students in those small groups and in this safe setting, controlled setting that we are controlling. So I just really want to thank them as a parent of a special needs child who cannot be on the internet by herself or unsupervised. This gives me a lot of flexibility to put her in a safe situation while I'm expected to work. So I think we're very fortunate to have the support of the board and the superintendent looking out for all of our best interests as well as the best interests of the community and our students. And there is no one perfect answer, but I think we should appreciate some of the things that are being attempted or put in place for the families in our area so that we can address all those concerns.
Thank you. All right, so I'm gonna go over some of the chat. Some of them are just statements and some of them are questions. What if we go off the state watch list, but we don't feel comfortable sending our student back to school till after January? Will we still Zoom and online learning for our student? So if we are back in school in some manner, a hybrid model would allow a few days at school and some Zooming distance learning. Back at school 5 days, there would be no distance learning done by the teachers. However, the option to do the home-based independent study would be available for any students that their parents were concerned about them coming back to school even after January. So hopefully that answers that question. This person said, I agree with you, Elaine. This person said, thank you, Ms. Guzman. I mirror your concerns and agree with your suggestions. I would like school to start as originally planned. No reason to push it. This one, I'm a high risk, yet I'm willing to take in children and to help working families. You did bring up a few things I agree with, but to what I have learned, and I have many family and friends who have explained that they have not been exposed, even though they work at the hospital. With that said, I believe it's worth the risk considering our children's education. The next one is a comment. I love Mrs. Selkin. The next one, isn't it better to make up 3 days instead of 2 weeks? The next one is having an incoming, I agree with freshman and seventh grader that I don't understand that. So I'm not sure what that means, but having incoming freshman and seventh grader, I agree about the calendar as stated with Mrs. Selkin there agreeing. Absolutely, teachers should be given flexibility. When we go to the hybrid model, will the high school and Bear River be on the same schedule? I can't speak to the high school. Somebody said, I think it was Robin who originally said we were all supposed to be on the same calendar. And I did a lot of work with a lot of districts in Yuba and Sutter County, and we all had an agreement, and they all went back to their own individual boards and did what they wanted. And so the reality of it is we can only control what we can control. Plumas Lake, their calendar that they approved was very similar to ours, except they started on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday, and they ended on a Friday instead of a Thursday, and that had to do with their teacher contract. The high school, I thought they were right on par with us, but if they weren't, then they were right on par with Plumas Lake. My understanding is they had the same calendar we had, but I could be mistaken. Where am I here? Okay, teacher need flexibility. Okay, so when we go to a hybrid model, will the high school and Bear River be on the same schedule? We don't control the high school. Bear River is part of our district. I would say likely not. The issue for us in a hybrid model is, because we talked about this before we were forced to go to distance learning, is that we wanted to make sure that children in our own school district were coming to school on the same days. So if you had a second grader and a seventh grader, they would do the Tuesday, Thursday, and the other. Now, to also morph that over to if you have a child at the high school, I'm not sure that we would be able to do that because it is not our district. It was said earlier that we all need to work together, and we do try to work together with the high school as well, but working together means working together. It doesn't mean do what I want and therefore we work together. So the high school is going to do what they want, and we're going to do the very best to make sure that our kids are connected, but I can't guarantee that the high school and our students would be on the same model. Somebody also said not likely since they're on different districts. Not sure. Oh, that's Angie answering the same question. I guess I should read further. I know that this is difficult for the district and teachers, but what about the parents who will be going constantly? Some have children at both the high school and Bear River. Do we not get a break? I'm not sure what that means, but yes, it's hard on everybody.
I think Shara wants to talk.
Okay, let me just finish these chats and then we'll move to the next. I agree with Tammy. I'm working from home and have meetings. I can't always break away and work with kids and assist them with their education and technology. I'm concerned about internet connectivity within Wheatland once the kids go back to school. If both my kids are online and I'm online working and someone else is streaming TV, it doesn't work. So I'm assuming that's up at home. That is exactly the issue. We have AT&T, same thing. Hopefully you can't see private chats. I don't want to see what you're saying. As an elementary teacher, I need time to do my lessons live with the materials and curriculum in the classrooms. The delivery is different for elementary than it is for junior high. The training would also give us an opportunity to improve our online teaching. Flexibility is what is needed for teachers to choose, and the flexibility for these homes that are struggling, as stated above. As a parent of a high-functioning autistic child, I agree with Mrs. Galker. I think teachers should have the choice to teach at home or at school. I have a question about the draft schedule, if you have time at the end. So, Shara, that's going to be you in just a second. But yet we are supposed to work with you, whether it's mandated or not. I don't know what that means. Okay, Shara, you're up. Shara Hall.
Hi, so I am a second grade teacher at Wheatland Elementary. And I just kind of wanted to speak on behalf of the elementary teachers and students. I also have a second grade, well, going into third grade daughter. And as amazing and fabulous as her teacher was, I watched her struggle through 3 45-minute Zoom sessions a week. And so requiring them to do 3 40-minute Zoom sessions a day seems taxing on one child, and then let alone being a parent with multiple children trying to manage that, to the extent that my only option for childcare for my one-year-old has two elementary children herself, and she said, I'm not able to watch your child if I have 6 Zooms a day with my own children. So it kind of put me in a bind. I do realize that there needs to be more rigorous instruction, and I absolutely agree with being better prepared and more organized to teach our students. Our students are my number one priority. I just feel that with the live instruction, it's all about quantity and not quality. So if I could do one awesome required 8 o'clock a.m. check-in each morning and provide instruction during that time, that might be more beneficial to students, young students, than 3 40-minute sessions a day where they're facing burnout and we have parents who are struggling to get all of their children on at the same time. So I just wanted to know, I guess my question is, I am aware of Governor Newsom's mandate on live daily interactive instruction, and I agree with it. I think it's great for students. I think we need to check in. We need to see their faces. They need to see ours, and they need to see each other. That's number one, most important. But is there a required time limit on how long they need to be under live instruction on Zoom? Because I think that's a major stressor for teachers, students, and families.
Yeah, Shar, I don't think that they've gotten into those weeds on how much live instruction has to take place. I don't have any information to help you with that question. It does say live interactive instruction. I'm sure it doesn't mean 10 minutes a day, but I'm also sure it doesn't necessarily mean 6 hours a day. So that's something that we're going to have to try and get some clarification on. I think they kind of leave that up to the district, but we don't have any guidance in that aspect from what they put out yet.
And Shara,
okay.
This is Crab. If you run into daycare issues, you give me a call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I feel for the parents and the teachers that have children and their daycare issues. It's all of this is daunting. However, as a school district, our obligation is to do the best thing we can for our students and our staff. And that doesn't necessarily mean trying to figure out daycare for all of the employees. We would like to have something available for our school-aged children, but we're finding the state's getting ramped up on that issue as well, saying that you can't necessarily offer something to your staff and not offer it to the community. Well, to the community of essential workers. And then the definition of essential workers is so broad that we might as well have school if we opened up daycare at our school for all of the people that could take us up on it. So again, we're batting our heads against the wall often, but we're continuing to try and make it work.
I appreciate that. And I do appreciate the thought about our children. That's important. I just primarily wanted to speak up and attest to the minutes that our students and my own child is spending on the screen on required live instruction. I think that was my major concern, but I know that that is also a work in progress. I just kind of wanted to speak to that for all fellow elementary families, teachers, students. So thank you.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. And I saw the schedule that you put together, and I don't know if you did that by yourself or with other teachers in tow, but as I said at the beginning of this, the schedule that was put out was a draft in order to try and figure out where we go from here. And we certainly want the involvement of the teachers at the grade levels in which they're teaching to look at how it will work for them as well as how it works for children at the age in which they are teaching. Because we all know that what a seventh grader can handle is different than what a TK or a K student can handle.
Right. I think that was maybe part of the challenge was the TK through fifth grade all had the same expectations and the same schedule. So I think that would be definitely important to look at.
All right. So I'd like to open it up. I'm not really sure how this is going to work. If you would like to say something, please unmute yourself and identify yourself, and then we will go with the first person. And then when you go, we'll go with the next person and so on and so forth. So would anybody like to say anything that has not been already discussed? Or whatever you want to say.
I had something I wanted to add.
Go ahead, Peter.
Again, Peter Town, principal at Wheatland L. To Shara's comment, the 45-minute blocks of instruction, and again, these were just kind of carved out from an administrative standpoint, looking at models from other schools. It's about most schools doing about 3 hours of instruction in the morning. But remember also for the primary ones, especially for the littlest, that instruction time also should include social interaction and play and working with the kids in activities where they have that social bonding that they missed in the spring. It's not straight lecture, it's not college. It can also include games and it can include those things. The kids have been missing out for a long time to have that time, and I'm hoping and I'll work real hard to make sure we include that in whatever instruction piece we have, that we also look at the social, emotional development of kids. Thanks.
Okay, maybe if you put yourself on the chat that you would like to speak. So next up will be Rochelle DeBritta.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Craig. I appreciate it. I just wanted to kind of speak not only as an employee, but as a parent. I do agree a lot with Shara, and I am grateful, actually, that Mr. Town just made the comment he did, because that was one of my things. Our kids need that social emotional connection so much. My kids have really struggled with that over the last few months. I have three kids. All three will be at different schools this year. I have one at the preschool, I have one at the elementary, and I will have one that's starting at Bear River, which is a little nerve-wracking in itself as a incoming fourth grader, but to not be able to go in and meet his teacher. When I did tell him there's a possibility you'll get to meet your teacher at the door for a few minutes, that just like took a huge weight off his shoulder. He's like, so I'll get to see what she looks like? Absolutely, son. You know, we'll see what we can do. I also want to thank the board, because I actually really appreciate the opportunity to wait until the 31st. None of us do have that crystal ball. And I'm excited to say, hey, let's see what we can do. Let's push it out a little bit and hope and cross our fingers that we'll able to start a more normal in-classroom lesson. Yeah, I'm not good at the whole public speaking thing, and I know I'm doing it through a computer, but it's still a little nerve-wracking. And I also want to get back to work. I want to be out there with you guys as staff, and I want to be with our kids, all of our kids. So, thank you.
Thank you. Annette Goodley?
Hi, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Hello. As the school liaison for our military families, I'm getting a lot of questions and concerns and things like that. I just wanted to just clarify how you would like me to handle that. I have been sending them to the website because you guys give me a lot of really good updates on that website. And I didn't you give them their phone number if they have a question. Or would you like them to send, are you having them send questions to you via email? Because we have a lot of questions. We have a lot of parents coming in. And of course, they're totally concerned. So I'm here to try to kind of squish some of those, kind of make them feel a little bit better. And you've answered some of the questions today. I saw that there were dual military, there were single military who do have some of those same concerns as well. How would you like me to handle that? And I love working with you guys. You guys, you get it. You get the job done. I appreciate what you've done. I love reading the plan and the different plans and just kind of throwing a lot of those kind of things out there. It's great, great information. So I appreciate it. So how can we help you?
So that I would say that if you have parents with questions that are related to the reopening plan, you could have them email me. If they have questions specific about Lone Tree or Bear River, to email those principals.
Yes.
Calling here at the district office is always can work as well. The school sites may not be there because they're not there every day.
Absolutely.
They call here too, but I think email is the quickest way for them to get a response and get something that they can sink their teeth into.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm still working. So if you guys do have questions for me as well, let me know if there are things that we can do to also help and support you guys. But great job. I know it's tough. Teachers, hang in there. The kids are missing you like crazy. So hang in there, and we appreciate all you guys do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have somebody who's labeled the Great Pause Project. You have a question about the independent study program. I don't know who that is.
Yes, sorry, that's me. I couldn't change the name on my iPad. I have four children who are gonna be in fourth grade and under. And so the distance learning isn't a program that I would be able to manage with that. With those kids. So my question was just a clarification, just to make sure I understood your comments earlier, was that the independent study program that you're looking to still put together would have basically virtual lessons for them to watch, but it would have packet work instead of online work. So that's my first question. Is it virtual lessons with kind of workbook and packet material that they would fill out and we would turn in physically each week? My other question was, I wasn't quite clear on whether those who were interested in the independent study program were going to be starting independent study on the first day, or if they would have to do the distance learning until site opens. I was a little unclear on that setup. So those are my two questions for you.
Okay, I'll try to answer both of them. First of all, we're still in the process of developing the independent study program, home-based independent study program. Mr. Town will be the principal of that program. And it is currently, it is a electronic program. So the kids would get their lessons and do their lessons on the computer. Now, with that being said, with the younger ones, TK and K, we probably have to augment that with some packet work and that type of thing. As for when would they start, they would start from day one, assuming we can get it all up and running, and that's gonna depend on the calendar. If we only have 2 weeks, I'm not sure that we can get the home base going. We'd start them on distance learning and then you could move them over. But we might be able to. It's just a matter of when our start date is. And well, we have a meeting on Tuesday with a company that provides a lot of home-based instruction to see what they can offer to help us. And the other piece of it that I don't think I touched on is it's dependent on the number of students who choose to go to the home-based independent study program versus in the distance learning program. Because if we have a large percentage, then we don't have as many kids in the distance learning, then that's going to free up some of the instructional, the teachers, to be involved in the independent, home-based independent study program as well. And we won't know that until we know who's signing up for what. And we don't, it's hard to get parents to sign up when they don't know what the program is, and we don't have that ironed out yet because this was thrown at us on Monday.
Yeah.
So that's another thing is we did not get the executive order until Friday, and we were not able to start working on this on that Monday. So yeah, it's definitely pushing the envelope. But we will have information for you.
Thank you. I understand it's, you know, everybody's just getting new information every day. Just as, you know, as the parent, it's tough because you want to start figuring things out, and we're all just kind of, including you, we're all just in limbo here, just waiting for things to happen. So I appreciate your answer.
I have a question for you as a parent, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. You can always say, I don't want to answer that question, but what I have two of them. One thought is about the calendar, about pushing the date out for having children, not from a perspective of an educator, but as a parent. And the other is, well, answer that one first if you would like, and then we'll go to the second question.
You know, I'm personally, I've already decided that my kids won't be going back to in-class instruction. And so it's a different factor for me. The decision is whether the district independent study program is something that will work for my family, or if I have to be my own independent private school. Like, those are my two options because charter schools are pretty much all closed. So the calendar doesn't really affect me either way personally, but I know there's a lot of parents that it does. So I don't know that I'm quite the right answer for that.
Well, sorry to put you on the spot.
That's okay.
I don't even have my second question because it flew right out of my head. So
I have a question.
Yes.
Could you ask her what her name is besides Grace?
You could ask her. She would like to know what your name is as a parent. As a parent.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Taryn Capps.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Craig.
Yes, Annette.
Hey, it's Annette. I know that one of the issues that a couple of parents had had a concern about was that the PCS season and how starting later is going to push school back later, and they were concerned about if they were PCSing during that time and how would that affect them and that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of reassuring them that they still would be able to PCS, but I think what it was that they're wanting their child to finish the rest of the school year. So
that was fair enough. And I think that, you know, if you look at the current calendar and the potential draft calendar, the difference at the end of the year for the PCS is 5 days.
Yeah.
But the other days are made up throughout the year.
It's a week, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So, as a parent, I have asked who I can contact regarding the calendar. I know Mr. Gensler is doing what he is told for the schools that are our district houses. I do believe that both schools should be on the same calendar. I'm assuming that they're asking who they could contact at the high school about the calendar, and that would be Mrs. Newman, the superintendent over there. If it's about our calendar, then you would contact myself at any time. Rochelle, do you want to say something else, or do you want me to read what you wrote? She looks frozen. Okay, Rochelle said, I wanted to say one more thing, but I forgot. I choked, sorry. My emotions started to take the best of me. I appreciate the idea of a once a day in-person check-in and a couple times a week with Zoom, trying to get 3 kids on computers for in-person teaching would be extremely difficult. I can only speak to what my kids' teachers did last year, and both of them did amazing jobs. Videos, Google Classroom, Seesaw, and Zooms on a schedule. The Wheatland L team did amazing at scheduling Zooms for families with multiple kids, so they were not all at the same time. So that's become loud and clear that we need to do some sort of schedule maneuvering so that not everybody is on at the same time. How that's all gonna work, we're still gonna have to work through that. But I agree that a lot of what teachers did during the crisis time, which is what we're calling it for the spring, will work now. It will, because they did fantastic work. But the piece that we have to make sure of is meeting the rigorous, taking role, the giving grades, the live instruction, none of that was part of the spring. All of that is part of the fall. So how that's going to happen is something that we have to really take into consideration, because having a teacher teach the lesson live and available to all students is going to require a scheduled time. So how we work that into the rest of the day is monumental, to be honest with you. And we're going to continue to keep working at it and get the input. I mean, I hope I don't speak out of turn, but the 4th and 5th grade teachers at Bear River got their heads together today and put together what a schedule they thought would work and sent it to Ange. And that's what we want. We want the groups to be involved in making that schedule that works for them. And so we're open to making sure that we do the best thing we can for our staff, but really the best thing we can for our students, and making sure that we meet the needs of working parents, non-working parents, computer literate people, non-computer literate people, people that want to do homeschool, people that don't want to do homeschool. As you can see, I can keep listing all of the differences and trying to make that available for everybody and make everybody happy is unfortunate. It will not happen. We're going to do the best we can, the very best we can. Jennifer? Hand up. Somebody, Jennifer. I don't know. Push
Jennifer. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jennifer. Just a quick suggestion. So I think that there are quite a few people that have really already made up their mind, regardless of how the model is going to be for independent study versus, you know, the online interactive learning. So it might be a good idea for you guys to submit a survey right now to have people fill out to see if they're undecided or have already decided, because at least you could get a ballpark idea of how many people are leaning which direction. So then even though you can't completely plan, at least it'll give you a little bit of information to be able to make a little bit more of an informed decision instead of being like it is now where you're completely in the dark of not knowing what where anyone stands.
I appreciate that, Jennifer. And we do have a plan to put out a survey next week on independent study versus distance learning. What we were trying to do is have a kind of a guide for what distance learning is going to look like and a guide for what home-based independent study would look like. So parents, when they looked at it, could say, yeah, this meets my needs, this one doesn't, or vice versa, so that we can get more valuable information. But the hope is to have that out by next week.
All right, that sounds awesome. The one other comment that I have is that I've been having a really hard time finding information. I'm pretty computer savvy, but I've been having a hard time finding the information on the district website. And actually the only way I was able to find out information about this meeting, the time and the code, was actually through a Facebook page. I was unable to find it on your district website, just as a FYI. I don't know if anybody else is having those same issues.
So I think what we can do to help with that is we can possibly move to the front page where the board, when board meetings are happening and what the agenda is. You do have to go into district governing board agenda 2021 and then it comes up. So
Making it a little bit more accessible would be great.
Okay, we'll work on that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for all of your hard work. We all appreciate you. I do not envy where you're at right now.
Okay, here's a question on the chat that says, if you choose home-based independent study model that is being created, can they attend school once it is on regular schedule? And the answer for us is yes. The answer for the high school is no. So what we're planning is to so when I say yes, I want to clarify one thing. If you're on the distance learning model and you're in Mrs. High's distance learning class, when we come back to school, you will be in Mrs. High's third grade classroom. If you are in a homeschool-based model and you are not working directly with an individual teacher, when you come back over, when we reopen, you will be assigned a teacher at that time that will be different than who may have been working with you on the home-based independent study program. So that's the way I can best answer, but yes, you can and come back over. And those people that are on distance learning, when we go back to school and you don't feel comfortable with your child going back to school, they can then go from distance learning to the home-based instructional program as well. So we will allow that kind of, what we don't want is back and forth. You know, this month I'm here and that month I'm there. But making a choice when something dramatic changes, like starting school, we certainly would allow you to make that choice at the time. This is comments that I've been in contact with Mrs. Newman, who is the superintendent, by the way, of the high school, and this was not brought up. I will contact her, but you, like all of us, have a boss, a you, like all of us. Oh yeah, I do have a boss. It's the five people sitting right here. So if you're unhappy with something that I'm doing, then you can go to the school board. They are my boss. And if Mrs. Newman and I had a conversation yesterday and they were planning on looking at extending their calendar, but Loomis Lake chose not to, and so that was the last conversation I had. I believe they will stay with the Loomis Lake calendar. So, and I do not make the decision about the calendar. I bring the draft, the board votes on that. That will be next Wednesday night. We will look at the draft and they will either accept it or they will modify it or they will deny it and go back with the original one. So it is not something that I am, I'm just putting it out there as an option for trying to maneuver this ship. So I'm not sure who wrote that, but if you're, you can certainly talk to one of them.
Bradshaw. Tammy and Bruce Bradshaw. That was their question.
Okay, well, so I don't know who you are because I can't see you on there, but if you have concerns, please reach out to the board members. Anything else? If we have no other comments, then we are going to close open session and go back into closed session. And we will have information out to you next week. The board agenda will be created and sent out on Monday or Wednesday. And our meeting on Wednesday is a little later so that we can allow others that may be working to come. So closed session starts at 5 and open session at 6, I believe. And I can't guarantee you that there will be decisions on the calendar or the plan at that meeting, but we hope there will be. If there's no other questions, we'll go ahead and
Let's close session.
Thank you very much.
I'm standing here. Hello. I was standing here.